Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends, and welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. And thanks for joining us, because we just want to claim you as part of our family. And as you know, each week we strive to bring you the very best in people of all walks and in areas of life, people of expertise, people of great faith, people who can inspire, encourage, and most of all, make you just feel good about who you are and about trying new things in life and moving forward, because we really believe God has a plan for everybody's life. You know what our team is comprised of. We're a family in and of ourselves. I'm Joe Schofield. It's a pleasure to have these people as co-hosts that God's blessed my life with. First of all, as you all know, I just want to remind you again, there's Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor, not a retired theologian, but there's Paul. Did I get that right, Paul?
You got it right. It's right. Yeah. I'm still working on it. I'm still in process.
There you go. Amen. That makes all of us. Yeah, I think one of the wisest men Paul and I remember from graduate school was, we said, what's the greatest thing you've ever learned? He said back to us that I've still got so much to learn. That's what we're all about here on Raising Expectations. We also have with us Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen. Rob is tied up in Arizona tonight. Don't worry, he's not flying, and he didn't forget how to land his jet, but he is busy with a situation in a home there that he's working with, and we're going to miss Rob and Nancy tonight. It's been almost a year. We've never missed them, so we'll be thinking about them, and they'll be back with us next week. Also, now, all the way from not just Northern California, Sacramento area now, but all the way from Georgia, our Georgia peach, Stephanie, and her wonderful husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. Dr. Craig is... I don't know what they call guys in Georgia, Craig. Maybe we'll ask our speaker tonight. She's from Texas. She'll probably have a good one for us. But welcome. And we've been praying for you. We're sure glad you're set up in your new home and getting going. And our loss in California is Georgia's tremendous gain. So it's great to still be together this way. Dr. Thayer is a trauma surgeon, and I remember reading about our guest tonight. She had a dealing with a trauma surgeon, and Doctor, you're the one, if anything happens to me, I want to wake up to and see you there, brother, and have you talking with me. And also Stephanie, who is a health and wellness coach and trainer, and frankly, I think both of you Bible teachers in your own right, because you encourage and strengthen people. So welcome tonight. Sure glad we're all tied together now. And we're going to move right ahead and share our guests with you tonight. I want to introduce again a friend from Texas. She is very well known. When she was on the program last time, it was exciting to see just how many people. Janine, you won't believe this. I have put, you know, me and my extensive training and doing advertising. Anyway, I put them up for 3 or 4 days. I want you to know that hundreds of people were touched by what you shared last time. Literally hundreds of people checked in with me each and every day since Wednesday. So no pressure. No, we just want you to know it's great to have you with us tonight. And your life's been a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what it means. Janine Cunell is from the Fort Worth area there in Texas. She's known as the Texas Renaissance Women, and she could share a little bit about that. She worked for the FBI with Center Intelligence, cyber. space, all kinds of things in protecting our country. She also was a news reporter for, I believe, ABC News. I remember used to watch that a long time ago. And also she went on to work with her own business. I mean, she's just done about everything, folks. She's really an exciting person. And now her blog, we're going to share a little bit about her blog because you all need to be following her blog. It's an excellent work. She also is an author. She had one book. Then she brought out a new book, which is going to be a series, which I'm going to let her share a little bit about with you. But tonight, we're going to let her share, if you would, Janine, along the line of you know, what we talked about today with how life comes along and how through Christ and your experiences, you just grab a hold of life for all it's worth. That's what we want our audience to do. So ladies and gentlemen, hey guys and gals on here, let's welcome Janine. Janine, on behalf of everybody, and I'm sure Rob and Nancy are clapping somewhere in Arizona, we want to welcome you to tonight's version of Raising Expectation.
Hey, family.
Amen.
It's awesome to see y'all again. You know, I would like to start out by asking our pastor, our retired pastor. You know, I was driving down the freeway in torrential rainstorms and there's wrecks everywhere. And I mean, really, it doesn't rain usually like that here in Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And all of a sudden, this thought came to me that give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And I sort of dismissed the thought for a second because I thought, well, here I am driving down the freeway and giving money is really not relevant at this moment. My whole life, I had always thought of that scripture going along with giving money. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, for you today, that is giving joy and giving peace and giving confidence and giving thankfulness. And when you do that, amen, then it gets pressed down and shaken together, and then you run over. And I just had this moment where I realized that's why I'm running over. Is that it? Is that, was I mistaught?
Absolutely. You know, I think in scripture, the only time Jesus told a guy about giving money is when he told him to go find a fish and there was a coin in the fish's mouth and he paid his taxes with it. But it's so consistent, Janine, with what you're saying about giving of you know, to follow the master's example, to give love and grace. Giving grace to people is one of the hardest things in the world to do, but grace is God's answer to sin, and grace is greater than sin. And to extend that grace to people in life situations, sometimes a human touch, just a smile, a word of encouragement, you know, a cloak, whatever that may demand. But I think you're right on target. I think money's the byline of that particular verse of scripture. You know, that's what I think.
Amen.
You know, and God is so gracious, and it does come back. I don't know if you've ever experienced, as a pastor, there are times when I would feel, and I say this kind of tongue in cheek, but honestly, I would feel the burden of having to go see someone because I'd have to drive a long distance and et cetera, and I was tired, et cetera, you know, blah, 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 blah. So being obedient as best I could, I would go, and when I get there, it was amazing what came back on the wave. I got much more out of that visit than the person I was going to minister to, if that makes any sense.
Amen.
So I think it's really consistent that God would just pour that in your brain today and certainly in your heart and encourage you to, you bet, give from the bounty of your heart, and it'll come back in ways unimaginable. And to be clear, we don't give it away so that we can get it. We give it away freely, but boy, does it come back. And it's a wonderful thing. So praise the Lord for what he did for you today, you know, in the midst of all that rain and carnage and wind and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean,
you're just in the midst of the storm today, you know.
That is so true. But, you know, for me, I reflect when I drive. So I turn off all of the music and everything, and I kind of listen and pray and think and all those kind of things, because it's a good time to do that when you're alone in the car. And I, what led me to that, as I was thinking about people constantly private message me or comment on my blog and want to know why I am so joyful and why, like, why someone like me would be so full of life and adventurous. And I mean, I don't know if people judge you these days by your age, but a lot of people judge me by my age. They're, you know, they say, how, why at 60 years old are you not exhausted and grouchy and, you know, things aren't turning out the way they're supposed to be. So I was reflecting on that. And that's when he said, given it'll be given to you. And I thought, wow, so that's why I have so much, because I am a natural giver. Once I got out of the counterintelligence field where I was a controller almost and really self-sufficient, didn't need God so much, kind of made my own decisions kind of a person. And once I got out of that and decided to refocus my life, I began to give, and it has been overflowing in me for the last 2 years beyond anything I can imagine. And so that's why Pastor Joe was talking about the blog, because I wrote a blog called Bucket List.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wrote that is because one of the things that a gentleman that I ran into at a restaurant that I don't know, that's turning 93 next week, one of the words he used with me is that he always had a bucket list, and now he's 93 and he can't get to everything on his bucket list. So I contemplated on that for days, thinking, why do people make a bucket list and then wait their whole life to do it? Like, yeah. Why don't we jump in every day and do our bucket list every day so that we don't wake up at 93 and wish that we would have had the energy and time to do our bucket list? So that's what do y'all think about that?
I love it. What do you think, Stephanie, Tank?
Yeah, I actually love that. I noticed that a lot of people in life, you know, go to school, get your career, and you've arrived. And then they stop thinking. There is no bucket list. Like, maybe you have dreams for your kids or a niece or nephew, but yours are done now. And I think that's so sad, because we have so much more to live. And it's interesting that you get comments about being joy-filled, because I get the same thing. And people say, you're so positive. And I tell them, that's a decision every day. Not every day is a great day. Some days are really, really hard. Like, if you can't tell, we have a fake background. We're sitting outside while our kids play water polo, right? So life happens. And how do you react around life happening, right?
Yeah. That's right. Yes. Amen. Janine, these are two of the most positive people you'll ever meet right here. These two people are just, they exude, like you do, a positivity that comes from their relationship with Christ. And they're crazy about each other, which works out really good, too.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things is when you run across people, or I saw the underbelly of society for so long that you see so much confusion and sadness and anger and depression and suicidal thoughts and all these things that the enemy is constantly pounding people with, that when I got out into the world, I realized that we can change the atmosphere. Yes. And so, sure, of course, Stephanie, it's not easy. I mean, there's a lot of days that are really hard. I was driving home today and saw some really horrific wrecks. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where I choose every moment to make sure that I'm not only thinking about myself. I think that for me, my bucket list, the way it got started 2 weeks ago, I haven't had one my whole life. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks ago, I'm like, I'm going to have a bucket list. But I started living it every day, and I realized that my bucket list, there's things that the Lord has on my bucket list that I don't even see yet. And it's like an adventure to see what he has on my bucket list. And so to me, he has kind of joined and partnered with me on this bucket list. And now I'm just like on this mass adventure. And that's sort of how I met this gentleman that sort of introduced me to the bucket list. But, you know, if there's people, I feel like I can't really articulate in this podcast why I have joy and adventure and confidence, all of that, but I can articulate a solution because it would take me forever. But I think the first time I met all of you, I said something like, I wake up every morning and I just throw my hands in the air and I say, yes, yes, Lord, whatever your vision is for me today, I yield to that instead of my will. I yield to your will.
Amen.
And somewhere along the way, so I ran into a doctor, an oncologist, and it's funny because he told me, he said, Janine, one of the things that I struggle with is people listen to the narrative of their life rather than the truth of their life. And he said, one of the things that I think you need to start doing with your dad, who you're here with today, is start speaking the truth to him and not the narrative that he's receiving from all the other doctors that are giving him diagnosis. And so I thought, I wonder if that's the way people live every day, is we listen so much to the narrative of what everyone's telling us, but yet we're not looking at the solution of what the truth is. And so that's kind of where my thought process was today.
That's it. Yeah, pray for you on that one. Yeah. Tank, how do you feel about that as a doctor when you face people like that? Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I think I set the tone when I come in the room.
Yes.
If I'm down and negative because I've got to tell them they've got a diagnosis of cancer and maybe stage 4, and there's always hope, you know? I mean, even in science, you know, Pavlov had 2 studies. He had the salivating dogs where he put food in front of them and then they'd salivate. The other one was learned hopelessness. So same German shepherds, he put in a 2-chambered thing and the floor would shock them. They'd jump over a barrier to the other chamber and they keep doing that. And then suddenly he blocked it so they couldn't get over and they learned to be hopeless and they just laid there and gave up. So, yeah, so... It is sad. So anyway, I think like Janine, she's learning. She is the light. She shines brightness on people and they glow back. So
that's right. Yeah, we know the story, huh? Amen. Stephanie?
You know what it reminds me of? We had I used to love to go to the, after we ran an operation, we would have evidence and we'd have to put evidence into the evidence lockers and log in the evidence and everything. And then we'd have to start writing our reports. And I was thinking about when you were saying that just now, we have a situation in our society, I think, and I learned this from this elderly gentleman that I met, that I wrote about on my blog. We have a tendency to pay attention to circumstantial evidence.
Mm.
And circumstantial evidence is allowing your circumstances to dictate who you are and what you are. And rather than doing that every day, rather than giving in to circumstance, which is what we all face every day, kind of what Stephanie said, every day we don't wake up and it's just a perfect day. But if we would learn that we can change our circumstance and we can show up and we can bring light to the darkness and we can alter the atmosphere. And so it's funny how the world, for some reason, you know, Joe, and you and I were talking earlier today. Let me tell the story right quick. I met an elderly gentleman that I do not know that I want to interview. And he was sitting in a restaurant by himself. And I looked around. I was eating with one of our mayors. And he said, look over there. And I looked over there and there was a gentleman that had his cowboy hat off and he had his head tilted and he was praying over his meal. And then he put his hat back on and he started eating. I was so moved by it because there was probably 50 to 60 people in the restaurant and he was having his moment of changing his circumstances, of changing his atmosphere, although he was alone and he just, something exuded from him. I couldn't stand it. So I ran over there and talked to him after the mayor left and he proceeded to tell me that he'll be 93 years old this week and that he misses his wife. His wife passed away and he's alone and he served in the Air Force and He loves to read and he loves to go out to eat. He goes out to eat every day by himself. Mm-hmm. And he said, one of the things that he loves is the fact that I took the time to talk to him. He said, do you know that I have been doing this for 2 years now since my wife passed away, and no one, no stranger has ever walked up to him and sat down and started talking. And here I was feeling guilty for talking to him, thinking his eggs were going to get cold and I'm such a dork and I need to keep my mouth shut. And everybody says I have too much joy and I need to simmer down. And you know what people say all the time. They're like, simmer down. Just, you know, go be quiet. Don't be so excited or whatever. And I'm feeling all of that. And then here he begins to tear up and tell me, thank you, that his eggs can turn ice cold. The fact that I took time to talk to him. And honestly, I wasn't saying anything of any substance. Mm. I was asking him who he was. Amen. And as he began to talk about who he was and identify who he was, that's the secret, Joe. That is what our society is missing. A lot of us don't know who we are, and we are watching everyone else and adopting other people's personalities, lifestyles, mission, vision, whatever. We haven't searched out who we are. And because of that, we are what is it when you're a duplicate, a counterfeit? We're counterfeit people, right? Yeah. We're not living the real who we are. And so that was sort of how this whole thing got started, Joe, because to me, he thinks I changed his life, but in reality, he changed my life because I realized that I need to consistently know who I am, because you don't know when you'll end up sitting alone someday in a restaurant, and you need to be prepared to know who you are. That's right. And have already attained your bucket list on a daily basis so that you have no regrets. Yeah. And it was so, I think our enemy has spent so much time getting us to pay attention to our circumstances and to everybody else is and everything else and all the narratives that we get constantly fed every day, that if we would just slow down a minute What's it called when you get a new iPhone, there's a book in there that tells you how to a manual?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we would look at our manual of the one who created us and figure out who we are and see what all the cool buttons do and what programs we have and how amazing we can operate. I mean, if we would slow down long enough to do that, but I think we're kind of missing that a lot in society. I talk to people all the time that I don't even have a Bible, much less read one.
I think that's where it comes from. You know, I was thinking about that also, guys. Stephanie, yes, we were talking about fudge, important stuff like that, way back at Christmas. Remember, Stephanie, we talked about that, and we were saying, we all voted and you acquiesced. You were special and said, yes, you can have fudge at Christmas. But anyway, we were talking about that, and I think when we're in junior high, And anyway, the guys, we all made a comment. Tank, you said something. We all started laughing. Stephanie got this maternal look like this. It was so funny. She said, boys will be boys. The things you guys saw, it reminded me of junior high. Junior high, what do? We all try to see. We want to be who we think they want us to be. Now, that guy wants me to be like that, so I'll do that. That girl, well, I think she wants me to be like that. I'll be that way. And pretty soon we're running around trying to be what everybody else wants us to be. And then when we figure out we're clueless and none of them really cared anyway, we're supposed to jettison that. And that's, I think, how the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us, begins to grow us through stages of life. I'm writing a book now called 1 to 70, which is for all grandparents, for their grandkids. And every year I use one key verse for my last grandson and what happens in his life. So when you do this, you come to the place where you say, I'm not worried about what they think who I am, but like you said, God, who do you say I am? And you know what? I'd rather ask God any day, because we don't have to be something we're not with God. We get to be just who he made us, and we get to learn and grow into who he can help us to be. And we know Romans 8:28, all things are working together for good. And in the midst of it all, what is it? John 14:27, he's going to give us a peace to see it happen. I agree 100%. The world's filled with people who are still trying to find out who they are. When they can't, they take it out on everybody else. And that's kind of, what do you think, Paul?
I think it's absolutely simply complex. I think there's so much pressure today Mm-hmm. And I've heard, you know, conform, yeah. You know, get in lockstep, you know, and those kind of things. And there's so much danger in that. I personally believe that people want to be known for who they are. They don't capitalize on the opportunity God gives them.
Yes.
To speak forth from what God has formed them to be, you know. You know, if we all think alike, and it's like, I heard a person say one time about marriage, if a husband and wife agree about everything, then one of them is not needed. You know, I mean, if that's the deal, you know, I mean, I think one of the greatest joys that God gives us is the privilege of calling out of another person who wants to come out, but maybe hasn't been given permission or hasn't been taught to do that. It's that wonderful story of Don Quixote and Dulcinea. That's who he saw. And she says, you know, you don't get it. I'm a wench. I was born in a ditch. I don't even know who my father was. But mm-hmm. he says, oh, no, you're Dulcinea. You're Dulcinea. And I think that's one of the great joys that Christians
yes.
have is giving of people and calling that out of people and helping. It helps both of us when we get engaged in that process, you know. But, you know, I heard a lawyer say the other day, or it was a movie where a lawyer said, everybody lies, you know, and I'm going, I guess, you know, in a sense that might be true, in the sense that fear overrides our hearts sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a courageous thing to be who God is forming you to be. What a wonderful process, you know, just to allow him that privilege. So it's we need to rub against each other in a good kind of way, because that's the wonderful sandpaper of relationships. And I believe that God's incredibly relational and called us to be the same thing. What a joy, you know.
Yeah, and that's when the joy comes in, huh, yeah. Paul? Like that's what we're talking about, Janine. I mean, you bring this joy. I love it in your blog. It's, the opening, you said a line like, on the bucket list, maybe we ought to not always be doing. Maybe we can begin to understand that life can just be about being. And there you go, just being who we are. And, you know, I'd much rather, Paul and I, we go back so far. This guy's closer than if he was my own brother. I mean, I don't know. As the Indian said many moons ago, it's been probably at least 50 years yeah. since we went through school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Back in Texas, back at Hardin-Simmons University and Baylor and other places. And so, and we they're still looking for us in some of those places. But anyway, the joy that comes from being able to just be yourself and have joy with people. And if somebody doesn't like something about you, it's okay. You know, they'll figure it out and like it later. That's what I always said, right, Paul? They'll like it later. So something like that. But
in y'all's walk with the Lord, have you noticed that when you have joy in your heart, it ticks other Christians off? I mean, it just bugs them to no end.
It really does. It does.
You got joy in your heart, and they want to bring you down to some level to where they are, and that's. That's so ironic to me, you know, but it happens. Is that right, Steph? Is that what you experience? I see you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. I think you wanted to say something, didn't you?
No, I was just going to say, I think today's world is so oppressed with fear, driven by the media, that Janine's approach to life is huge, because Steph said this, for one negative comment, it takes 10 to rebound that. So. True. Yeah. I think we need more people like Janine that are bouncing around and happy and inspire. I mean, you know, if you drive through a Starbucks and you pay for the drink behind you, the Holy Spirit lights you up, right? I mean, that's what you are. You're just the Holy Spirit bouncing around, and I love it. So keep doing it.
Yeah, that is awesome. But, you know, I'm wondering what we're missing in our society today, like where it went sideways, because for him it was the second I began speaking to him, he lit up and shared his mission and vision and his whole life. And we were like, I'm not kidding you. We were best friends in 30 minutes. I mean, I have his phone number and I'm going to his house to meet him. And, you know, that's kind of random.
Yeah.
For somebody in a random restaurant somewhere. It's not like we're neighbors or anything. And so to me, it seems like we're missing, either we're self-focused or we're focused on our, I'm just not sure what it is that we're missing, because it made me sad that no one has ever spoken to him, and how many hundreds of times he's been sitting there. And I'm thinking, what happened to our society where we don't sit at a table anymore and share with people that are not in our inner circle? We are not created on this earth to hang out with our five best friends. We're supposed to be taking the light to the world, but for some reason we get into our little cliques and, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what has happened with that. I have interviewed several young people. They say they spend most of their time on their phones, and that their parents are trying to help them restrict their time, and because they're getting, you know, crooked necks by looking down all the time. And, you know, so their comment was, is that they have not learned to interact. And that was probably a room full of 16-year-olds. So they don't really interact with other people. They spend most of their time with each other and on their phones. So I don't know how we can change that, but I think that we need to really encourage people that. So here was my point, though, Paul, that I wanted to ask you. When he says, pressed on, shaken together, running over, and you're sowing that joy, mm-hmm. and you're giving that, and you get it back, mm-hmm. and is that a way that a person, actually I should be asking Stephanie this maybe too, but is that something a person could do to snap themselves out of depression or loneliness or sadness or something where they're withdrawing? Is maybe that verse means that if they would give, maybe that would change. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you're on the truth right there. Mm-hmm. You know, someone said the best way out of the dungeon of self is to give yourself away.
That's right.
And I just think that's true, you know, and yeah, hard to do. I think, you know, to a point, I think we were practically speaking, we were practicing social distancing long before we were told we had to do it.
Amen. Yeah.
And what a sad thing, you know, what a sad thing.
But
that can be changed, and it can change just by taking the bushel off the light, you know, and letting the light shine. That's what I think.
What do you say?
One of my favorite phrases I've heard, and I don't know who told me this, but it is true, is that when you're having, you know, a hard day, I mean, God already knows your prayers. You've told him probably a lot of times. And there's another phrase, which is not the one I was going to, but that's, you know, have you prayed about it as much as you've talked about it? But the real one is, get out of your own way and ask other people how you can pray for them. It's the same thing as Paul is saying, is like, go serve someone else. You know, I used to run all the compassion and outreach at a very large church, and it was fascinating to see the volunteer or the receivers that would come in, and I ran all the volunteers. There were a few volunteers that wanted to receive food or clothing or whatever, and they got so much joy out of pushing the cart, helping people out to the cart. And not everyone, there were a lot of takers, but there were a few that really wanted to feel like they belonged and kind of earned it. And it made them appreciate it so much more. And I think if we could do that in life, and I think it's one of the reasons our marriage is very good, is see each other. It's not really hard. It's a choice to love other people. But if you're so busy taking, receiving, and we live in a consumer society, we don't do this. We don't know how to look above our phones to see other people, right?
Right. That's right. Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I think that is the secret that I have learned the last 2 weeks, is that if it doesn't matter what my circumstantial evidence shows, if I disregard that and I give what is on the inside of me, which is because what's inside of me is always there. It doesn't matter what my circumstances say. I still always have this fiery, wild at heart spirit of God in me that is ready to move and shake and change the atmosphere. And if I will just tap into that and allow it to come out and give that, just like I did with this gentleman, I was more blessed than he was. And I had more joy and danced around for 2 days. And I have no, and then I wrote a blog and I was just like, oh, he's genius. He's brilliant. I never thought of living a bucket list in the moment and not writing it for the sweet by and by and not waiting until I kick the bucket. Right. So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, it's amazing how one little light shine can introduce a whole new avenue of life. It's just, it happens to me every week. So if there's anybody that is listening in your audience that has just this much sadness or depression or anger towards their circumstance or what's going on with their family, their life or their job or their finances or their feelings toward the government or any of that, disregard the circumstantial evidence and tap into who you are way down inside there.
Amen.
Then start living out your bucket list, and it'll become very apparent to you when you're living in the moment of what that bucket list is, because I have 75 things on mine now just from 2 weeks ago, which is crazy. I've never had one before. So
she had a great line in there. Go ahead, Tank. Were you talking?
No,
were you talking? Paul.
I'm sorry, Paul. Go.
That's okay. I just want to give you a cute anecdote really quickly. I've been homeschooling my granddaughter for the past couple months, and we'll continue for a little while. So I'm trying to pass the third grade again, and it's extremely difficult, especially math. But we were studying the food chain the other day, and I learned something. I think I learned it maybe for the first time, that there are three major groups of animals or three major groups on the food chain. The first ones are producers, plants. They produce more energy than they use. Okay, producers. The second one is consumers that eat what the plants produce. And the third one are decomposers. Those are the worms that eat the stuff that's left over after the consumers get through with their stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, always looking for great illustrations for Bible studies and stuff like that. You know, Janine, you talked about it. We live in a consumer society. Boy, mm-hmm. But what has God called us to be? We're the producers, are we not? I mean, mm-hmm. If just to use that simple illustration, to we get our energy from the sun, S-O-N. More is produced than we use, and it's available to share with other people. You know, so what a neat deal. I mean, God even wrote that in the fabric of creation. Thank you, third grade. You know, so, you know, the little things I'm learning along the way, still in process. You
know. Never-ending source. Amen. Never-ending.
Yeah.
He's going full. Yeah.
Do y'all have some kind of like weird gut feeling, like on the inside, like way on the inside of you, that you're kind of like speeding up your revelation knowledge, kind of like, is it happening to y'all at all where you're like, whoa, I've read that my whole life. Whoa. I didn't know that. Is that happening to y'all?
I want to jump in a second on that.
It's happened to Paul. Yeah. It happened to me. What about you guys?
Yeah. I think it's the older we get. Go ahead, Tank.
How many times do you hear something that's extremely important three times in the next couple of days? Like, you've read something, you go to church, you hear it again.
That's true.
Walking up to you and says the exact same thing.
And just so you know, Paul just did that for Craig. He doesn't even know what he just said. And he looked at me like, what?
That's the way God works.
I love that. I do too.
And he's so alive for me, I think, because it's this heavy season. When we're in the deep, we can decide to just sit there and mull around, or we're going to wake up and listen to his prompting and get in the word and say, okay, what are we doing? I have no idea.
I always refer to Psalms 23, right? Just slow down, and then you can start looking and seeing and listening and hearing. So if you're speeding along, you don't hear it for the moving water. not still water that you were supposed to be sitting by.
Yeah, right. That's it.
We're not still. We're not still very often. That you
that's, right. That's right. Be still. It's still water. That's it, brother. I think the older I get, I don't know about you, Paul, and everyone looking, but the older I get, but you said, Janine, it's so true. It's like you hopefully learn some things. You've got things that you've really learned, not just from the books. Notice I'm so old, I use books, but not just from the books or the computers, but also through the experiences and other things. Like when Paul and I had that one revival we did so many years ago, it makes me think of Texas. And we came out the front door and we finished the sermon, the preaching, the singing, the sharing, all the stuff from the old days, the guitar, Paul. And the minister's wife came up to me and grabbed me by the tie and pulled me right down close to her and said, "I want you to know, you can't smile so much in the church. You got to stop smiling so much in the church. When you've been a Christian as long as me, you'll learn it's a way of life and nothing to be so excited about." I said, "Oh, okay, all right." Then all those experiences, pile them all together. I think it gives us kind of an ability that's tied specifically with what Paul said, that never-ending source of joy. Jesus becomes sweeter as the years go by, and you look over and you say, "Yeah, he was there. Oh, yeah, he was there. Oh, somebody said that yesterday. Like, thanks. Yeah, he was there." And all of a sudden, all of your knowledge, unwittingly, that you've been leaning on, you kind of put it right over here and say, "Okay, there it is, Lord, and that teach me something new. I'm so wide open. I can't wait to share, because whatever you're going to say, I know what you did there. I know what you're going to do here. Let me share it with somebody." I think that's that joy that you get and comes out. And that's what we're supposed to do. I get that from each one of these co-hosts. They are just like that, Janine. Each one of them are that way. That's my 2 cents. Actually, 2.5.
And that's what's so awesome about your community, your online community here, right? Because you're confirming, like you confirm by releasing, by living or saying or doing right now, Paul confirms something to Craig, right?
That's right.
So here's the deal. We should be doing that in our society so that's that right. We can transform our atmosphere around us. So instead of, and that's why I love the fact that we can, what is it they always say? Like, the church is not the building that you go to, but you're the church or something like that.
We're the church. Appreciate the brother. That's right.
Yeah. So that's a perfect example of what I experienced at a restaurant. I don't know him, but the way I started discovering who I was so that somebody could speak something into my life that clicked, he wasn't in my community at the time, but mm-hmm. then all of a sudden he was in my atmosphere and he sowed something into my life. I sowed something into his. And now we're both joyful and we giggled on the phone today and laughed and we're brand new friends. And it's because I think the way you start discovering who you are, or what I've learned the last couple of years, because I've only been alive for 2 years, is you just have to start simple. You just have to start living and start being instead of doing. And I spent my whole life doing and being a workaholic and all of those things. And I didn't notice anything or anybody except what I wanted to notice. And when you remove that, and you start living now, I think that's where the magic happens. It's where the adventure happens, and and although relationships are difficult, there's nothing wrong with spending time daily sowing into new people's lives and bringing more people into the kingdom. So I have no doubt that that's going to happen soon.
Row amens. The line.
Let me ask a question just real quick. Do you know what happens at Buckingham Palace when the Queen is present?
That is brilliant.
Her flag flies over the palace when she's in residence.
Okay? That's right.
Yes.
And someone said, and it wasn't me, I'd love to claim it, but it wasn't me. Joy is the flag that flies in a believer's life when the King is in residence.
Amen.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
And you know what else? You know what else, Paul? When she walks out and somebody says something bad about her, she doesn't care. because she's the queen. I own this place.
That's right.
I know who I am. It doesn't matter what you think about me.
That's right.
Wow, what a double meaning for that, right? Because if we were to step out and fly our flag and realize who we were, we would be unstoppable. I don't know. It's so much distraction today. I'm tired of being distracted by the false narratives running around everywhere that I'm having to turn it off so I can stay in joy and still speak life into people. I refuse to take it in.
Amen. Amen.
That's pretty awesome.
I tell you what, that was good, Paul. Yeah, that was great. He's got a million of them. I've known him 50 years. That was great. You know, I'll throw this out there real quick. I just couldn't help when Janine was sharing about this wonderful gentleman. I couldn't help but think about the greatest generation. We talk about our dads and our family, and we're praying for your dad, Janine, and your family. You know, I looked back at the differences. I think that they were flying the flags over the castles of their lives. You know, they came through the Depression, they came through all this, and without chasing this, there's six simple things that I looked at. The people like our parents and the people like this, that we've lost somewhat of the millennial generation, they took a personal responsibility. Why? Because they knew what the Word of God said about it. They had an integrity that said, I will be who I am and I'll grow in that. They had a humility. They knew that they depended on one another. That's what made America great. We depended on each other. They had a work ethic. They had financial prudence, and they had an insightful and a totally faithful commitment to everybody. If we could do what you're doing and share it with everybody, not just our close community, but every single person we meet under the guise of Christ, these six critically important things that made America great, that made a democracy function and a republic be a reality, they can also make the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Used to say every Sunday morning, y'all leave, the community church of High Grove is now leaving this place, and we're driving down the hill to go all through Central California and bring people to Christ. We'll see you next week when the church meets again. And that's what we need to do. So I think those points, I saw the picture of the old man with the flag, and I thought about that man. By the way, if you go to her blog, his picture's in there. I'm glad you put that up with the cowboy hat so we could see who he was. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Anybody else want to share something there on that thought? Or?
Well, I think last time I asked you or mentioned to you that you needed a stage, and you've got one now with blog.
Yeah.
I see you doing other things. What are your next plans?
There you go.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, since then, I actually started I noticed when I was networking for business, because that's what private businesses do here, which I'm new to that. They have these networking groups. You join the chamber and you go to these networking groups, but they get a little annoyed when you get up and talk about God and you don't talk about your business. And I get all distracted and excited about something, and I share a testimony, and everybody's, and the president will stand up and say, Janine, you're supposed to talk about your business, not about God. So then I love it. Then I decided, I thought, well, I'm just going to start my own networking. So I started a group called Fierce, Fearless Females. And I am not kidding you, 57 women showed up at the first one. I was so, but first of all, you have to know the truth. I was sweating because I had to get up and talk, and I'm not used to talking in front of people like that. And so I got up and talked, and I don't know, it's amazing. Have y'all ever experienced this when there's, I know you have because you're a preacher, man. You know how when people like, there's people in your audience and they like pull it out of you, like so much so that it's like you don't even know what you're saying. It's like they're tugging on you. And something, I can't really describe it, but it was, there were people in the audience that were tugging on me, that I said so many things. I have no idea what I said. I am telling you, I have cried so many tears because of the letters that I've even had women call me that were going to commit suicide, that wanted to know what I had that they didn't have. I had women, I had one, I could go on and tell you stories. So I started there after you said that. It was very scary. I barely made it through that first meeting, and I'm having my, and so they asked if I would have a monthly meeting. But the thing is, we're not talking about business at all. We're talking about how we can sow into our community and how we can help each other. And so it's a very non-threatening way to introduce Jesus, because everyone is lost and focused on becoming millionaires, and they don't realize that their own heart and soul is broken. And then you open up that door and they just, I'm telling you, not one negative thing. I mean, they have all just written me letters and supported nonstop and said, please, we want more. We just need more. We want to know. They want to go to lunch with me and say, how do I know who I am? How do I figure out who I am? I mean, there's the crazy questions. So obviously, I don't know that I have answers to all those questions. So that's the scary part, right?
Yeah, you will, huh? Amen. That's wonderful.
My favorite question to ask people that I work with is what they think their special gifts and talents are. And almost everyone stops and has no idea what to say. It sounds like what you are doing, you can take any work vehicle and make it a ministry, right? Mm-hmm. But when you stop and you start to ask people to sort of reflect on themselves, or like, how can you be the best you out in the world? It's amazing how they've forgotten about that. And so that's what I hear in you. And I literally just wrote you a message because I have a teammate that lives by you. And I'm like, I want to send her to you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, folks, we've got 2-3 minutes left, and I want to make sure that Janine can tell them how to get a hold of you, Janine. Let the people know, if you'll tell them what your blog address and all that, we'll put it on our site, but go ahead and tell them how they can get a hold of you.
So my blog is janinesrenaissance.com, mm-hmm. and I don't put as much up as often as I should, but probably once every 2 weeks or once a month I put something up, and it's usually just an experience that I have, and I reflect on it. My book is also on there as well, The Overcomers. And I think I wrote The Overcomers before I really, really realized what an overcomer was. And now I'm stepping into that. And so I'm so humbled that the Holy Spirit actually wrote through me, and now I get to walk it out. So that's kind of an adventure in itself. So anyone who reads the book will covertly desire adventure with the Lord. It's just, it's amazing how that happens. That's what everyone tells me. And so that's how you find me.
All right. Hey, Paul, do me a favor. Would you do us a favor? We haven't got much time, but would you pray for Janine on this new venture and just pray God's total support and being behind her, encourage her every and every moment? Would you pray for her?
You sure. Father, we just love you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to tell you that and to live that out. Thank you for living in us, empowering us through your presence and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Janine. I ask, Father, you give her wisdom, a fierce courage, a fierce love, a fierce determination to stay in step with the Spirit. Lord, bless her efforts. Just shine, continue to shine through her. Want to thank you for Steph and for Tank and their new home. God bless them as they continue to touch people's lives. And of course, Joe, and we just want to bring before you Nancy and Commander. We just pray, Father, we just open our hearts to you and ask that you find in us a willingness to be used as vessels for your love, for your grace. And may we be, may we find the joy bubbling up inside every day in thankfulness. And we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We do. Our time is up. Thanks, Paul.
You betcha.
Thanks, Greg. And thanks, Steph. And most of all, Janine, thanks so much. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We'll be back to you. We sure want to have you back in here some more. God bless you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.